upavarnitam etadva, upavarnitam etadva, punyam parikshitam maya, punyam parikshitam maya, vasudeva katopetam,
vasudeva katopetam,
atyanam yatta pichata,
atyanam yatta pichata,
yayaha katha bhagavata, kathaniyayu karmana, yaya katha bhagavata, yaya katha bhagavata, kathaniyayu karmana,
kathaniyayu karmana,
guna karma saya pumbi,
guna karma saya pumbi,
samsebhyastha bhubhushubhi,
samsebhyastha bhubhushubhi.
Translation of text 9 by Srila Prabhupada. O sages, this is spoken here today at the Cairns. Is that the right? Or Cairns? What is it?
Yeah, Cairns, yeah. Huh?
Yes, you're right.
Hence that today is the first day of September 2007 Kristabdo, in the 521st year of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this what are the name of these deities? Radha Madhava Temple, Griha Temple of Sri Charuni Devi Dasi and Jagatpati Das Adhikari. First Canto 18, Chapter 9 and 10 verses. Translation. O sages, as you did ask me, now I have described almost everything regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna in connection with the history of the pious Maharaj Parikshit. Translation with repetition. O sages.
O sages.
As you did ask me.
As you did ask me.
Now I have described almost everything.
Now I have described almost everything.
Regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna.
Regarding the narrations about Lord Krishna.
In connection with the history of the pious Maharaj Parikshit.
In connection with the history of the pious Maharaj Parikshit.
Report by Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
Srimad Bhagavatam is the history of the activities of the Lord, and the activities of the Lord are performed in relation with the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, the history of the devotees is not different from the activities of the Lord, and those of His pure devotees on an equal level, for they are all transcendental. Text 7. Yaya katha bhagavata kathani oru karmana guna karma svaya pumbi samsebhyastha bhubhushubhi. Those who are desirous of achieving complete perfection in life must submissively hear all topics that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the personality of Godhead who acts wonderfully. Translation with repetition. Those who are desirous,
those who are desirous
of achieving complete perfection in life,
must submissively hear all topics
that are connected with the transcendental activities and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts wonderfully. Hari Bol. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The systematic hearing of the transcendental activities, qualities, and names of Lord Sri Krishna pushes one towards eternal life. Systematic hearing means knowing Him gradually in truth and fact. And this knowing Him in truth and fact means attaining eternal life, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Such transcendental glorified activities of Lord Sri Krishna are the prescribed remedy for counteracting the process of birth, death, old age, and disease. which are considered to be material rewards for the conditioned living being. The culmination of such a perfectional stage of life is the goal of human life and the attainment of transcendental bliss. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the first canto, 18th chapter, texts 9 and 10 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of Parikshit, curse by a Brahmana boy. Harihi Om Tat Sat. So today, it's especially describing about Shravanam. You know the meaning of Shravanam? Sitala. Sitala? You know? Yes. Listening attentively to the spiritual subject matter. That's the first practice of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Hearing, chanting, remembering. Those are the first three. So hearing. If we hear about the transcendental activities, qualities, and names of Sri Krishna, then Prabhupada saying it pushes us towards eternal life. Does anyone have any objection to being pushed towards eternal life? You'd rather be pushed towards repeated birth and death, suffering. This is the choice. We can hear about other things, but we hear about Krishna and his transcendental qualities, his pastimes, his activities, his names, then we get pushed to eternal life. Especially Nitya Bhagavata Seva. Every day we should have a Bhagavata Seva. We should read a little bit from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that way we can get spiritual push to the eternal life. To remind us that there's something alternative. Every day we have the news, we have the newspapers and the television with all the news channels, and we have the news being spread by mouth. Those things are not giving us any kind of liberation. It's just the normal things that go on here every day. You find out how many people died in Iraq and how many people are killed in the Sudan. You find out that somebody in Western Australia drove off the road and had a car accident. Somebody here was eaten by a crocodile, and so on and so forth. And it doesn't really make any difference dynamically to your spiritual development. Interesting to know, okay, if there's going to be 10,000 crocodiles walking down the road, then maybe it's good to know that don't walk on that particular road, because there's a massive, you see, movement of crocodiles or something. A few basic things, but otherwise it's not transcendental information. When we hear about Krishna, it actually purifies us. Krishna narrations are something transcendental. That's why it's a prescribed remedy for counteracting the process of birth, death, old age, and disease. It's a wonderful opportunity that we can counteract these things. We can counteract the cycle of birth and death by hearing about Krishna. And Krishna's pastime is also quite interesting. Many different things happen in his pastime, so it's really interesting past lilas. The son of Parikshit Maharaj, his name was Janamejaya. So Parikshit Maharaj was his father, and then his grandfather was Abhimanyu and great-grandfather was Arjuna. So one day he was just sitting there and he was interested to hear the pastimes of his forefathers with Krishna. That was even more relevant for him because his parents, his forefathers, great-grandparents were intimately connected with Krishna. So that was very relevant to his own life. So then he heard how Krishna agreed to become the messenger for the Pandavas. Normally being a messenger is it's a subordinate job. messenger is just carrying the order of the person he's representing. So Lord Krishna is Supreme Personality Godhead. For his devotee, because of love, he agreed to be the messenger. He offered, I'll be the messenger. So it was very interesting to Janamajaya that how Krishna became a messenger for the Pandavas, my forefathers. Then it was heard the pastime that Krishna went to Duryodhana and he had proposed that there be a peace, let's avoid the war. You give these 5 villages to the Pandavas, and in this way you can avoid a huge war. You have the kingdom of the entire world. You just give them 5 villages. What's the big deal? Don't have to give half the kingdom that you promised. They give it something, because they're Kshatriyas, they have to rule. But they rule over a village. So let's avoid this war. But Duryodhana, he was very an inimical person, very a belligerent. He said, I won't give them as much land as you can stick a pin in. But there'll be war. We will defeat you. And he thought that since Krishna is supporting the Pandavas, the better that he can just eliminate Krishna now, and that will make it easier for him to kill the Pandavas. Right? So he had his soldiers attack Krishna. Now normally a messenger is under diplomatic immunity. Even in modern countries, if an ambassador does something, usually they just deport him, but they don't take him to court or anything, because he's under some diplomatic immunity. What does mean? Krishna didn't run over anybody or do his chariot or do anything wrong. He was going as the messenger. But Duryodhana wanted to kill him, which is completely against the protocol to kill a messenger. So then the messengers, anyway, they go unarmed. They're just going as a peace emissary. So that under Krishna's feet, he had some trap door, and soldiers came out and started to attack Krishna. Then Krishna took a gigantic form. And then he showed a universal form, and so in this way he drove away all the soldiers, and then he left. So Duryodhana failed to be able to eliminate Krishna. So when Janamajaya heard that, he wanted to see this gigantic form of Krishna, because he had never heard before. So then somehow Krishna manifested this form for him, and gave him a deity form of Krishna in a gigantic form. And the deity is, since 5,000 years, is still being worshipped in Kanchipuram of Tamil Nadu. He's called the Pandava Dut deity. Dut means messenger. So Pandava Dut, messenger of the Pandavas. So when I was this year, every year after Gaurpurnima, I go on a safari. You went once on safari with me?
No, we still haven't been.
You haven't?
No.
We go to different holy places. Sometimes we go up to the Ganges. Sometimes we go on the Ganges. Sometimes we go to South India. Sometimes we go to different places for about 20 days. So this last year we went to South India, to all the 4 states, but mainly we were in Tamil Nadu. So there in Kanchipuram, I had a list of all the Vishnu temples that were very important. So I saw the Pandava Dut, read the history. Said that Janamajaya wanted to see the deity. Somehow Krishna manifests his deity. So I went to the temple. When I went in, I could just see a small Krishna. It was very bright outside, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Inside was only no electricity, only some oil lamps. When we got inside, I just saw the small silver deity of Krishna. What is this? So there was a big deity here. But then my eyes got acclimatized, and that small deity is sitting in the lap of Krishna. The big deity is 28 feet high.
Oh.
How high is your roof here?
7.
7 meters.
So higher than this. Another 2 meters. A little more than 2 meters higher, and this gigantic deity, and as wide as this whole temple, this whole room here, and so high. eyes got a climber. I was like, why you couldn't even, it's this like so huge deity. I never saw such a deity. He's sitting down like a Buddha. So standing up, he would be, you can imagine how high he would be. So the pujari had a long bamboo, he put a lamp on the top, and then he would show, get a darshan of the deity. So that was the Pandava Dut deity. So like that, these pastimes have been captured also by establishing some deity related to the pastime. So there's some ancient temples where some pastime of the Lord is remembered eternally by some deity. Just like in P.C. Prabhupada made the Kaliya, Krishna Kaliya temple, right? He wanted to capture that this Leela, that Krishna is dancing on the head of Kaliya. Because they also said, they told him that there's no snakes in Fiji. And where and there's some kind of a history that there's Kaliya went to Fiji. Wherever Kaliya is, no snakes can be. He's the king of the snakes, but no other snakes can be there. So then Krishna, Prabhupada told us, put a Kaliya Krishna. You need Kaliya here in Australia. But here there's lots of snakes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes they crawl right here.
Yeah.
In the day, in the night.
Yeah, whenever they want.
They're really ruling the roost here. So you don't want to do too much gardening. There's some kind of acid. Oxalic or something, some acid that if you put around your house, then they'd hate the smell of it.
Pardon? The heat come out from the coal is very good to take away the smell, to take that problem.
To what?
The sheet of the coal.
Cow dung.
It tastes very good.
Well done. It's in here, but there's some acid that you sprinkle it and they go away. Sometime in India, the snakes come and suck the milk out of the cow. Or they drink the milk. So that's why they say that hearing about the glories of Krishna from a non devotee. It's like taking milk that was touched by the lips of a serpent. Milk is good. If you had a glass of milk and a cobra, a black snake, a brown snake, whatever came and sipped from it, would you like to drink that? Radhika, what do you think?
No.
Maybe some poison will be left in the milk. The farmers are telling me that during the Second World War, the British had built next to Mayapur a very big landing ship for the B-54 bombers that were going against Japan. There's another front there. So that time they found a cobra egg. So the British person supervised and took the cobra egg, looked, and right in front of, right in his hand, it hatched. A little baby cobra came out like this. He held it out looking, and a little baby cobra came, bit him on the lip. Instant death.
Wow.
That being a cobra.
Whoa.
Instant death. They if you go into the snake talk, they'll tell you so many tales. One time Prabhupada was being attacked by a snake in his bathroom. He was calling me, Jai Pataka, Jai Pataka, as I came running. And he was inside the toilet in the cubicle. And inside the door, there was also a brown snake. I don't know if it's the same kind of brown snake, but it's called a viper there. They're called vipers. And the viper was stuck in the door, and he's like trying to strike Prabhupada, who's in the back of the cubicle. And he's just missing it. So the Prabhupada said, help me. What to do?
Couldn't open the door.
If you open the door, then the snake will fall out and then may run and bite Prabhupada.
Grab its tail from the outside. Grab the end of it.
No, the tail wasn't sticking out. The tail was caught inside the door. And Prabhupada was holding the door tight. So the snake couldn't get out. And the snake is trying to reach him but couldn't reach him. But neither could Prabhupada. There was somehow no handle on the door. He had his hand out of the door. He couldn't also close it. And I told him to put his hand in, and then when Prabhupada had his hand, I closed the door so that the snake would be like crushed. So that it would be less mobile. And then very quickly we opened the door and got Prabhupada and pulled him out.
Not the snake.
Prabhupada, yeah. Then after that we took care of the snake. Then the local farmer said that when we kill a snake, the last person he sees, the image stays in the retina. And his mate comes out and sees that image and then makes a life vow to find that person and kill him.
Is it true?
I don't know, you know. They don't take any chances. They always burn the snake. If they kill one, they burn it, so there's nothing left. I tell you, when you hear snake stories, and they got so many of them. But also when there's a flood in Mayapur, someone was there when the flood, they told me, that's nice.
Ray and Rebecca. Yeah. Ray and Rebecca, they're not here today.
That this flood, all the snakes come up into the building. One devotee was on the snake patrol. He got the 68 snakes, cobras. Anyway, so this snake also was the one who killed Parikshit. Was the Takshaka snake, Taksha, who was a flying snake. And a really deadly poison. So somewhat relevant. They say that snakes and other animals usually don't attack unless they're hungry or scared. But a snake can attack you just because that's its nature, it's envious. Once there was the story that once there was a scorpion. And he wanted to cross the river, so he asked the horse to take me across. He said, well, you might bite me. Now if I bite you, then we'll both die. You'll be in the middle of the water, so why would I bite you? Okay. So the horse took the snake across the river. In the middle of the river, the scorpion bite him. So what are you doing? Now we're both going to die. Yeah, but it's my nature. Couldn't help it. So some people are like that, very envious, so they just say negative things about people. We don't want to be like that, like a snake of a person. So the pure devotees are niyamatsaranam, they're free of envy. They don't find the faults with other people. They look for the good qualities in others. It's like Parikshit Maharaj. He was a kshatriya, he was protecting the cows. And the bull are being beaten by the personality of Kali. The cow and the bull, he asked them, who's beating you? And they said, well, they just gave different kinds of philosophical reasons. It's ultimately not the doer that's doing it. It's our karmas, it's this, it's that, and so many other acts. They never blamed Kali. And they were on a higher level of consciousness. But of course, Bhiksha, he stopped Kali from beating them. He was seeing the external. So hearing about these great devotees of Krishna is also purifying for us. Hearing about Krishna, hearing about the great devotees. So there's this devotee called Govinda Das. He was the godbrother of Ramanuja Acharya. But the devotees used to always criticize Govinda Das. Because they said that he would sleep on the bed of his guru, which is very wrong. And that he would do weird things. So one day Ramanuja went up to his guru's quarters and there he saw Govinda Das was making up the bed of the guru. And Govinda Das laid on the bed for like 1 second and came up. He said, "Why are you doing that? Don't you know you're not supposed to lay on the bed of the guru?" He said, "My duty is to see the bed is properly made. How will I know unless I try it out?" "No, but you may go to hell because of this offense against the guru. So let me go to hell, but let the guru have a nice sleep." Then he saw this is a higher level. He's making a supreme sacrifice. He's prepared to go to hell for the guru. So people are criticizing him and they don't understand his mood is like that, very much service oriented. And one day he saw Govinda Das had a cobra and he's sticking his finger down the cobra and making sound. He says, "What are you doing? You're torturing the cobra." He said, "No, the cobra swallowed a lemon. It stuck in the throat. He can't breathe. I can't help him. I can't stand it. He suffered." He's putting his finger down the throat of the cobra to take out the lemon. Who does such a thing, you know? Taking such a risk to help a cobra. So like this, there's so many ways in the Ramanuja realized that this Govinda Das, he's not an ordinary person, he's a very merciful person, very responsible. But people are always seem superficially and criticize him. We should see, you know, we shouldn't just speculate what somebody's motives are, we should actually know what they're really doing. Maybe they have a different reason. So see, Ramanuja, he didn't just take what everybody was talking. He asked, what are you doing? What's your purpose? And whatever Govinda Das, and he accepted that. Whatever Govinda Das said. So Krishna and his devotees are all very great. They're the greatest. Even Krishna has been enamored by his devotees' good qualities. So if Krishna finds something praiseworthy in his devotees, what to speak of us? When Haridas Thakur passed away, then Lord Chaitanya was glorifying Haridas Thakur, all his wonderful qualities. How he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, vice bazaar, and he survived, and how established freedom of religion in that kingdom. How he made all the prisoners in the prison house devotees. How he made the prostitute Hira a devotee who came to seduce him. Instead she became a devotee. How he's always chanting 300,000 names. We try to do 16 rounds a day. And that's our for the initiated devotees, others may do less. But for initiated devotees, it's 16 rounds a day. So, he's doing 12 times, usually it takes 2 hours for some people to do 16 rounds. So he would chant 12 times 16, every day. And still have time for eating, sleeping, talking, hearing class.
Huh? I love.
He was a fast chanter. Said at night he would chant 100,000 loudly, 100,000 softly, and 100,000 mentally. I did a recently in Czech Republic. I did a japa workshop, and we had a mental chanting. And one round we did mentally. And the devotees took more time to chant because it's really hard to focus the mind when you're just doing it mentally. Any other thought comes, your mind's off and you can't count it and you have to get. So they have that kind of thought where you're chanting out loud and it helps to bring the mind back to the chanting. So we found the devotees chanted faster, softly than they did mentally. But Haridas Thakur had such a controlled mind that he could chant 3 minute rounds mentally. You time yourself sometimes, you can see loudly, softly, and mentally what's the difference. So like that, Lord Chaitanya was very happy to glorify Haridas Thakur. So Parikshit Maharaj, also grandson of Arjuna, very great devotee. Like this, we should hear about Krishna, about his devotees. We get purified. This helps us to come on the path of liberation. Any questions?
One question of chanting. Well, it's specified chanting.
Your name is?
Brinda.
Brinda.
Yeah.
Dr. Brinda.
Okay. And the chants and to be quite audible and of the holy names.
That's since we're only doing 25,000, so we do loudly generally.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can't do loudly because environmental reasons.
Yeah.
Like if you're at the Abu Dhabi immigration counter.
But if you would speed it up, like to try and do it audibly in 3 minutes.
No, it's usually 6 to 7 and a half minutes it takes.
Oh, when Haridas Thakur was chanting, was he able to?
Well, that's the problem. I said normally 6 to 7.5 minutes is the range for loud chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 7.5 is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And maybe 6 is like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 5. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 4. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 3. After it. If you're doing more than 7.5, then it's a bit too slow. Maybe you're Hare Krishna, Krishna. Your mind can go off easy. You gotta push yourself a little bit. If you go too fast, then maybe sometimes people start leaving out words. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, something, you know, limit. Once there was a devotee in Mayapur in the veranda, he was chanting out in the veranda. And Prabhupada was, you know, call him. He called, what mantra are you chanting? Then he said, Hare Krishna. No, no, what is this? Nix, nix, nam, nam, nix, nix, nam, nam. His mind is chanting Hare Krishna, but it's outwardly it's completely something different. The Prabhupada said, when you're chanting out loud, the other person should also be able to hear the name properly. So you don't want to go so fast that then everything becomes merged. But actually with some time, with some practice, you can chant a little faster without... You should hear yourself. Occasionally you can have someone listen to you, or you can have a tape recorder and tape it and hear what... Sometimes people chant really slow rounds, and then I found that because I do japa workshops and I hear the devotees japa. Someone was getting stuck on Rama. Hare Rama, 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 Rama. Hare Hare.
It's good to say that.
And you're stuck on Rama. Sometimes they chant extra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They're chanting extra Krishnas and Ramas. Sometimes But mostly they leave out more than adding more, two times more people leave out, especially the Hare's at the end. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare Krishna. Is that right? It's okay?
What's causing this? Because obviously they're in their mind, they're thinking of the mantra and it's complete wholeness. But
they're not really listening so attentively. Sometimes because you see, the mantras are, if you just chant one word after another, maybe in their mind they get lost. They're not so attentive. Like you're going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then there's Krishna Krishna. So there's actually three Krishnas together. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So two or four, you know, one or more or less. Someone may add or subtract one pretty easily. Then you're going Hare, then you're going Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama. So there's also three there. So you can leave out one, you may still, just it feels like, feels good, you know, still feels good because you got two Hare's there. So that's why I recommend when people have this problem to chant the names in pairs. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I mean, not that gappy between the pair, but like in your mind, they're saying, don't do one name at a time, but two names. There's less likelihood of leaving out one name then. You may leave out two, but not one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tricks of the trade. Although there's no hard and fast rule how we chant, we can chant in different ways. But.
And pronunciation, because so many different dialects in India, they all have different pronunciations, especially with the vowels as we call them, with the odd. Some, like Orissa has quite a sound.
In Hindi, it's Krishna, Rama, Rama, but in Bengali, they pronounce long A, Ra, and then the shorter is the Ma, Ramo. That's why you hear the word Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ramo. So that's the Bengali is O at the end, if it's a short A. But anyway, it's the person, Krishna is a person, so he can understand that they're chanting his name. If all the vowels and consonants are there, it should be okay. The Oriyas, they chant that it's Krishna, they read. So they're saying Krishna, they say Krishna.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Yes. Yes.
Krupa, Krishna, Guru Krupa. The Rikar, R with the dada under, they say Ru. So it becomes Krishna, Krupa.
It's very different.
And they all proclaim to be closest to Sanskrit.
Well, there's that. But because it's not, like, it was a Vedic mantra, I mean, just a purely Vedic mantra, then which has a little mispronunciation which produced a different result. But we're chanting it as a Puranic mantra. In the Vedas, they say Hare Ram first, and the Puranas, they say Hare Krishna first. So Lord Chaitanya wants to chant Hare Krishna. So Krishna, you know, if there's a slight difference in pronunciation, shouldn't be a problem. But in my Japa workshop, I tell people how to chant. There's three names, and each one has two syllables. So for some people, they have different ways of pronouncing. So it's ha, ha,
ha,
re,
re,
ha,
ha,
re,
re,
ha,
ha,
re,
re,
ha, re,
ha, re,
ha, re.
The
two so ha, re. And some people say, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. But it's ha, re. Hare, especially Americans have their hair. I don't know what the Aussie accent is, Emma, but so if you don't, it's not too Hare, Hare. So then it's easy to, and then Krishna is too also Krish, Krishna.
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 There's a Krish is a. This is what they call the Madanya Sha. It's the Sha with the tongue in the top of your roof of your mouth. And the end with the dot means also the tongue stays in the same place. Krishna. Na, na, na with the tongue in the back. Krishna. Krishna. And then some people say Krishna in South America. Krishna. They don't, instead of saying Krishna, they say Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So different accent, but technically I thought that is so much a Vedic wave, and then they may have, if they're still thinking of Krishna and chanting, then somehow Krishna will surely give them blessings. So the official way is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then Rama,
Rama,
Rama, Rama, Rama,
Rama.
Because you do japa, it's not a problem. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Rama. The A at the end is optional in the Rama name. You can do Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Rama, Rama, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Rama, Rama, Hari.
Is that the Hindu aspect of the language, where they drop off the A and the Sanskrit follows through with it, including the A, Rama, as opposed to Rama?
Short A is kind of optional.
Mm. Is this Hindu as opposed to Sanskrit, or Sanskrit?
I don't know exactly why. Banu Maharaj may know if it's Sanskrit, Hindi, whatever. He's a Sanskrit expert. It's like say Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. So Ram or Rama. Any other question? It was Ken?
Yes.
You have a question, Ken?
No.
Radhika?
What are the temples in South India and Vishnu? Do you know some temples that you can tell me to?
So many.
I know
Tirupati. You see, there's a book written by the Sri Vaishnavas, which is called the what they call Divya Deshas. These are Vishnu temples which were glorified by Alwars. Alwars are Vaishnava saints. So there was 108 temples that the Alwars praised. So like in Chennai, there's the Parthasarathi temple. This was praised as a Divya Desha, where Krishna is worshipped as the driver for Arjuna, the Parthasarathi. And then there's another Vishnu temple in Mahabalipuram, which is also known as Mamallapuram now. I mean the official Tamil name, but it's English time it was called Mahabalipuram, but it's Mamallapuram. So there's also a Vishnu temple, which is the Divya Desha. It's called Perumal temple. Then 10 kilometers closer to Chennai from Mamallapuram, there's a Vishnu temple. That temple is called the Nitya Kalyana Mandira. Mm-hmm. Kalyana means what? Marriage. They call it South India, they say Kalyana, like Kalyana Mandapa, marriage hall. So this is a daily marriage temple. Every day they have marriage. So there's a pastime there, there's a Bhubaraha Devi. So some sage, I think it was Madhavi, or I forget, one of the rishis, he had a daughter. And the daughter rishi passed away. So the daughter had no father, no guardian. So she did a tapasya to go back to Godhead and follow her father. But Narada Muni said, you're doing the wrong tapasya because this is for a married lady. You have to be married if you can do this tapasya. So then she went around to see if any of the rishis there would marry her so she could do their tapasya. And then one said, "All right, I'll help you out, I'll marry you." And then she would be her. So they, he had to, supposed to have one child at least. So she conceived, and then, but she gave birth to 360 daughters.
Okay.
Kind of a world record. And then the husband was like overwhelmed. How am I supposed to get 360 daughters married, and how am I going to do all this, you know, take care of them? And then on top of it, after they just grew a little bit, then she also finished her yajna and went back to Godhead. So he was all alone with 360 daughters. Jagatpati is
overwhelmed.
Then one, then they grew up and they were all marriageable age. And then one handsome man came and he said, "Well, I'll marry all your daughters." So then he thought, well, in those days polygamy was allowed, and so he said, "Well, this was to solve my problems." So every day they did another marriage. 360 daughters, 360 days, so more or less 1 year. So every day they had a yajna. At the end, the last daughter, when she was getting married, then all the other wives or daughters all merged into her, and she became Lakshmi, and the handsome guy became Vishnu. And this was all Leela Vishnu. These were all Lakshmi's incarnations. So this Rishi had actually the great opportunity to have the goddess of fortune as his daughter, and he was able to give 360 times the goddess of fortune in marriage to Krishna. So you can imagine what kind of blessing he's going to get. So then the two got married, Narayan and Lakshmi. Then they went back into the temple. So that temple there, because the Lord had got married every day for the year, so the Utsav Murti is always dressed like a bridegroom, and the Lakshmi is dressed like a bride, and every day they perform the marriage ceremony in that temple. So they say that somebody's having a hard time getting married. You go there and get the blessing, the deity blessed. So there are a lot of young single people going there to get blessings. A lot of young people. In fact, we told that we warned our brahmacharis, don't stay in too long in this temple. You'll be in trouble. Dangerous for the brahmacharis. So like this, each temple has got some amazing pastime like that. And so in Kanchipuram there were 14 Divya Deshas. 14 different, Pandavadut is not so well visited. That's only because we are devotees of Krishna we found it out. But otherwise everyone goes to Varadaraja. That's the main Vishnu temple there. He's a huge smile. What a smile he has. Very charming. And he's the king of giving benedictions. He gives so many benedictions. So everyone likes to go to the deity that gives a lot of blessings. He's very popular. So that's the Varadaraj. And there's another, there's the Vaikunthanath. This deity was, he became manifested there by Lord Brahma did Ashwamedha Yajna there, because Kanchipuram is such a place that any devotional service you do there is multiplied by 100. So he did he was supposed to do 100 Ashwamedhas, then he can get a Vishnu deity. So instead he went to Kanchipuram, did one, which is equal to 100, and he got this Vishnu deity. Then he did the worship for the deity. So the deity is called Vaikunthanath. Like this, so we saw so many deities. You can write to my secretary, Ratnavali. She can tell you all the temples we visit. We didn't visit 108. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam, of course, is a major temple. And Sri Rangam is Lord Ranganath. also was worshipped by Brahma. But he was doing tapasya at the side of the milk ocean. He wanted a deity, and from there out came the Ranganath deity, and lying on an antasesha. So then he took that deity into Satyaloka and was worshipping. Then he gave to some disciples and they were worshipping. Somehow it got down to Manu. From Manu it came to Ikshvaku. And it came to the earth planet. So from the Ikshvaku was the Surya Vamsa, the dynasty of kings in the sun line. So they're handed down and was worshipped. He was worshipped by Ramchandra. Then Ramchandra gave to Vibhishana. And Vibhishana took this deity to Sri Lanka, but on the way somehow he stopped at Sri Rangam and they put the deity down. So wherever he puts the deity down, then the deity stays there. So that deity is still there in Sri Rangam, and that's considered like a Vaikuntha on earth. This Paramal temple in Madurai, it's called Southern Mathura. Then nearby there, there's a place where there's Alwar, Nila Alwar, just a half an hour drive from Madurai. There's another holy place, so I forget the name of the place, but it's on the side of the Tambra Pani, a river that has a lot of copper in it. That's what's called Tambra, means copper. But if you get the Divya Dasha, there's a few temples glorified by the Alwars outside of South India, like Dwarka and Mathura and Badrinath, but 90% are all in South India. Guruvayur, another important temple, Padmanabha, Udupi, Krishna temple, Malkote is also considered Vaikuntha on earth. There's Yoga Narasimha. There's also a special Narayana there that one Mughal princess fell in love with, and she left her father and came there and was worshipping Narayana. Okay?